Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, a very interesting environment we have to do business these days. Somebody caught you playing ping pong and said, no, here's a bowling ball. Now whack that across. See what happens. That's kind of what it's like. All the rules are changed. It's different out there. The climate for doing business today is not what it was 6 months ago. 6 months ago, we were all kind of going, well, there's a virus going around. But let's go back a year, last August. Man, we were in tall cotton, man. It was kicking butt. The economy was on fire. Everybody was doing good. You could hardly make a mistake. Well, you know, we all make mistakes, but you'd really have to work hard to make a mistake. But today, you really got to work hard to figure out what the heck to do next. You know, they got all these new laws and rules and wear a mask and do this and take this shot and do that and don't go to the movies. Oh, you can't. You can't go to Broadway. You can't do anything. Stay home. All right. Well, while all this is going on, us entrepreneurs and business folks are trying to figure out how to run our business, how to market them. So I have a very interesting lady on the show today. Jacqueline Lieberman, she is CEO and founder of Brand Crudo, and she's joining us right now. She's going to help you and me to find our North Star. You said that when I was talking to you before we get started. What do you mean by that? And welcome to the show, Jacqueline.
Thank you for having me, Alan.
Yeah.
What do I mean by North Star? It's really about the DNA of the brand, and that's the DNA that lives in the brand. It's the fundamental, distinctive characteristics that cannot change from your brand. And that should always be the North Star. It doesn't change because you have different business objectives. It doesn't change because there's a shiny new marketing object and platform out there that you want to be on. It's the thing that's always there and it always guides you. And it should be unchanged no matter what you're looking at.
So you described yourself as kind of like special ops for branding. And if people have branding problems, which, boy, I mean, it just seems like unless you've got an established brand, then there's something that we all fight with constantly because we have our own personal doubts. And then somebody says to you, tell me about your brand again. What do you guys do? And maybe you didn't deliver the message in the name of your company. I mean, it's like there's so many factors. So if you've got a branding problem that you cannot crack, today Jacqueline Lieberman, who is on the show with us, can get under the hood of your business. Of course, you'll have to call her for that, but we'll talk about things so that any even workaday Joe entrepreneur with a gutter cleaning business or a lawn service or whatever it might be, you know, these people all have to brand themselves as well. So, and also for those folks that in business that have lost focus as they grew, because this happens too. As a matter of fact, let me tell you a little story for this morning here, because as we get going, I had a lady call me and you know, there's these new laws coming down about kids going back to school and social distancing and all that. And this lady calls me about a property that I have for rent. And she says, I want to put a tutoring business in here, not a school. I just want to tutor kids. She said, I thought I would, you know, tutor, you know, 10 or 15 kids. And she says, my phone is ringing off the hook as soon as I told one of the parents of one of the kids. We're talking fourth grade level, right? She says, every other parent found out and now they all want to come to me. So I said, well, you've got yourself a good problem, don't you? But it's that good problem that maybe she doesn't know how to deal with. A problem of too much business. So how do we deal with some of these problems and get ready for them? Maybe Brand Crudo, brandcrudo.com, BrandCrudo.com on the web. Jacqueline Lieberman can help answer some of these questions and problems from 30,000 feet. I'm Alan Taylor. This is Entrepreneur Magazine's radio show, Entrepreneur Weekly. We're going to be right back with more of Jacqueline. Don't go anywhere. Game show contestant with a parting
not believe my eyes when I saw through the thoughts of a trusted friend.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today.
Don't forget, check out our website, entrepreneur.com, Entrepreneur Magazine on newsstands everywhere. Again, I'm Alan Taylor. Jacqueline Lieberman joining us. She is the founder and CEO of Brand Crudo. And she's going to help us not only find our North Star, but let's talk about, matter of fact, let me just start with why businesses lose focus as they grow. Because, you know, I think that's what happens to all of them. All of them. I mean, even big ones. They have to kind of, you know, rethink and re-establish stuff along the way. Start there.
Yeah, they do. And I think the main reason why brands start to lose their focus is because companies think of brand purpose and business objectives as two very different things. And a lot of companies have looked at brand purpose as this checkbox, this thing that they need to do. And then it ends up being this, you know, beautiful saying, inspirational saying that's painted in the lobby and it's T-shirts given to all the employees, but then nobody knows what to do with it. And really what I find is that they're really completely intertwined. They cannot live without each other. And you see that when a company moves full steam ahead onto a business goal that doesn't ladder back to why they exist, to their North Star, that's how they start to lose focus. That's how they start to look, you know, their campaigns are disjointed, their communication is all over the place when you look at it from one season to the next or 1 year to the next. They waste time, they waste money. And really, at the end of the day, what all of that activity leads to is that somebody says, we need to hit the reset button. And then they call people like me to help them figure that out.
So you're kind of a change agent. I'm at your website. Every brand has a raw truth. An interesting thing to say. You guys really are the ones that have to go in and say, look, you got a great business here, but man, your message is not delivering on, it's not delivering on what it needs to. Or like, for example, I have a slogan for my company. It's brands I trust, people I love. And so I got into a huge argument about this whole thing. My friend says, no, it should be brands you love, people you trust. And I said, well, first of all, a brand, I may say I love it, but I trust it because a brand has a brand promise and it's delivered throughout a company, a huge company. It's not just one person. I love one person. I love them with my heart, but I don't love a brand. Actually, I like it. I like it a whole lot. It's hard to love a brand versus loving a human being. You know what I'm saying? So I wanted brands I trust because I trust a brand. Even if one person screws up, I can go to the next person and say, you know, that person was kind of rude, but here's my problem. And the next person will deliver on the brand promise. You see what I'm saying? So the messaging is so important, right?
It is. And it's funny that you bring that up because I put my own process on myself with starting Brand Crudo. And our purpose is to make brands human. And the reason why that I feel that that's important is because, you know, by nature, advertising and marketing is unwelcomed. It creates this noise that we don't want to hear. So to combat that and making sure that you're always adding value is that if you think of your brand as a human being with a mind, a heart, a soul, then you start to get somewhere. And by thinking of, and what I really mean by that is I say that a brand has a mind, that means that they have a point of view. That means that they have a role. For a heart, that means that they have a belief system. That means that they have values. And then in terms of having a soul, it means they have a conscience. How do they want to be remembered? So just by using that and the intersection of those three facets, really start to get to the fact of that's the DNA of the brand. That's what makes it special. And that's the part that you need to let the world know about.
Hmm. A consultancy focused on the reason people should care about your brand. Wow. I think this is a very important conversation we're having. She says this, advertising and marketing is typically unwelcomed. Ain't that the truth? Who loves to be sitting there being advertised to and marketed to? Not anybody. But remember the commercials that you've seen that stick in your mind and they actually made you want to see them? That's the kind of special something-something you need. Maybe Jacqueline Lieberman has that. CEO and founder of BrandCrudo.com on the web. Don't go anywhere. We're going to continue this. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. Entrepreneur.com. You can hear more of this show. You can also watch videos and, boy, do the research you need. Whether you're Workaday Joe or Jill or big business, we can always use to improve ourselves. Stay tuned.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
That's right, Entrepreneur, the coolest brand in the world. What is going to rebuild America after this insanity that we're going through right now? Entrepreneurs, if you wear that proud crown on your head, God bless you. You're part of the team that is going to make America back to what it was. Anyway, Jacqueline Lieberman joining us. BrandCrudo.com. You can find her on the web. All right. So, Jacqueline, you are good. You're a change agent at telling people what they don't want to hear. Why do you think it's so important for a business to hear what they don't want to hear?
Well, oftentimes they just need someone from the outside to come in and listen. And that's the first thing that I do on any project is I listen. I listen to the problems. I don't just ask about just the marketing problems. I want to know about the business problems, because what happens is that they're very myopically focused on the task at hand. They're looking at their to-do list and they're checking off a campaign. And what's happening is that they don't really put their head up to look at the world around them and ask, am I adding value as a brand? Is this campaign adding value to my brand, instead of just ticking the box? So, I mean, really, you know, a lot of times, and I can give you an example where I was conducting a workshop. I'm standing in front of, you know, 14 people who've been at the brand a really long time, and we're talking about brand values. And one of the things that I'm asking is saying, okay, so let's talk about your brand values. And someone raises their hand and says, one of our brand values is culture forward. We have our finger on the pulse. And I said, great. Explain to me how you've demonstrated that. And then all of a sudden the room falls silent.
Yeah, right. They come up with some fancy sounding thing and they're like, all right, yeah. Well, yeah, how do you do that?
So then I say, well, okay, maybe not recently, but maybe in the past, have you demonstrated this? Dead silent.
Wow.
So then you have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. And a lot of times you can't do that internally with a person. You need an outside party to come in and do that. And that's where I start to kind of hold up the mirror and say, you know, look, just because you did one Facebook post on insert topic of the moment, that doesn't mean that you're culture forward. However, here's what I am seeing. Here's what's interesting about your brand. And that's how I start to really, you know, dig in, you know, from a journalistic point of view, constantly asking, well, why? And tell me more about that.
You're like a brand psychotherapist.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And it is very much like brand therapy
Yeah.
half the time.
Right.
So it's a lot of fun.
All right. So last question before I ask you to give like three little bits of advice for people that have branding problems that they can't crack. How do you turn your employees into brand evangelists? I know how to do it. Thank God my employees love me and love what I stand for and all this type of stuff. But I'm curious how you would tell other people that.
Well, this is kind of why I talk about helping brands find and tell their raw truth, because when you always start from a place of truth, people will follow you because it's easy to believe something that's actually true. And when there's dissension in your company, that means employees aren't buying what you're selling.
Right.
And it ultimately, that means your target audience is not going to buy what you're selling either,
right,
because
right.
it comes, it infiltrates all the way through the company, all the way to shelf.
Right.
And,
right.
you know, so that's why that reset button of let's go back to the truth. What's our DNA? Let's find that. Let's articulate it. That's
it.
Why it's important, and especially it's important right now in the time that we're in
yep.
for brands to get ready for what's coming next.
Okay, so here we go. Give me three bits of advice for these people that are feeling around the dark and don't know what to expect and don't know how to fix their branding problems.
I would say the first thing is, going back to the beginning, is thinking of your brand as a human, asking yourself, what's our point of view? What's our belief system? What's in our conscience? And starting there. The other piece is then you're saying, well, now I need a marketing strategy and a communication strategy. How do I do that? I would say the best thing to do is think of yourself at a cocktail party. And you're entering a cocktail party. There's a mixed crowd of people that we know who would be our loyalists in terms of marketing. And then there's people who we don't know, new customers. If we walked through the door, entered the party, rushed in, crossed the room, and asked another person that we don't know, hey, can I borrow your car? They would think we're crazy. They'd walk away from us. So you don't just talk to people in an unwelcome fashion. You have to be able to understand and listen to them. So at that cocktail party, you're not just talking about yourself. Otherwise, people are not going to want to talk to you.
Right.
You're asking them, well, what do you do? And tell me more. Right?
Yep.
I mean, what cocktail party?
Get personal.
Walking
exactly.
around.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. All right.
And then really the last piece I would talk about in terms of advice is just when I say that advertising by nature is unwelcomed, it means that we need to constantly ask ourselves, are we adding value? You know, don't just sell me a cup or a cooler. Show me where can I take it? Show me stories of people kicking back and enjoying themselves. Show me some adventure, you know? So I think that's kind of where I would give advice.
All right. So here, I'm just going to say this. The truth will set you free. And if you guys out there listening need somebody to tell you the truth, you need a shrink for your head and your business head. Hoy. You might want to talk to Jacqueline Lieberman, CEO and founder of Brand Crudo. Great job, Jacqueline. Nice to meet you.
Thanks so much. Thank you for having me, Alan.
Entrepreneur Weekly, we'll be right back with more. Don't go anywhere.
Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
So how can you run a business and not even have the ability to be at your business? Our next guest, Aaron Young, Chief Strategy Officer, the unshackled owner, ran his business from jail. I know. Aaron Young is a renowned entrepreneur with more than 30 years experience and several multi-million dollar companies under his belt, one of which he ran from jail. Now that's virtual, I'll tell you that. Aaron, how you doing, buddy?
Alan, I'm doing great. And, you know, it says over 30 years. I was thinking about 37 years.
Wow.
Since I started my first company with a legitimate payroll.
Wow.
And it's been a long time. And you know, the jail thing is the ultimate proof of concept of actually being able to build a business that can run even in your absence. Now, hopefully most of us will never have to, you know, prove the concept like that. I hope your listeners never have to, like, you know, have that moment of truth where they're being put away completely away from their company. But
well, and let really, me just let me tell everybody, I did a show. We were doing a show, a video series for a little while called Business and Burgers. And you can find it at businessandburgers.com. We did it with Microsoft. We were talking about extraordinary entrepreneurs, and they shared with us the secret of their success. We called it the secret sauce. And Aaron was one of the guests, and we become friends over the last few years since we did that. And his story is amazing. And maybe you could even, we have a little bit of time, maybe you could even lay out, why were you in jail to begin with? What happened that you had to spend, what was it, like 15 months in jail? And so give us that first, because it's amazing.
The short version, and I know there are going to be people who will shake their head and say, oh, there's got to be more than that. Here's the thing, folks. Here's the cautionary tale. One day, December 27th, 2002, my office in downtown Portland was raided as part of a synchronized raid at a bunch of locations around the United States. And they came in with a bulletproof vest on, the guns out. It was a raid. FBI and the Criminal Enforcement Division of the IRS. And they were looking for anything that we had on another individual, another company that we had done work with. And I was not named anywhere in the search warrant, but they had the search warrant to come to the office. So I wasn't a target or a person of interest or needed anything like that. They weren't looking for me. And they came in, and they were looking for anything we had on him, which we were, of course, they didn't have to come in with their guns out. That we would have happily complied.
But they could have knocked on the door.
But this was a pretty big case for this IRS stuff. It was an offshore tax evasion case. And the fellow in question owned a bank. And we had formed corporations. You know, Laughlin Associates, one of my companies, is one of the largest incorporators in the country. And we're 48 years old, you know, and we've helped hundreds of thousands of companies. So anyway, they wanted information about him. And he had been an affiliate. We'd done a lot of work with him. We had stopped working with him almost 3 years before because we thought he was a little fast and loose with some of the things he did. But not a bad guy, just kind of just made us nervous. And so anyway, they were looking for stuff about him. And they asked me after, oh, an hour or so of me just sitting in my office, they said, can we ask you just a couple of questions about this guy's been really hard, you know, kind of slippery, kind of difficult to pin down. Could you answer a few questions? And I thought, well, that sounds right. Actually, that sounds like the description. And not a bad guy, just slippery, kind of trying to thwart the rules, you know.
Right.
And after I answered their questions, they left. They thanked me. They were very nice. 4 months later, I get indicted on conspiracy charges. They said I knew or should have known what this guy had allegedly done. And I thought, how can I be in trouble for I knew or should have known what some other company that I have no stake in at all is up to? And plus, I quit working with them 3 years ago. So anyway,
gracious, right?
It was a conspiracy charge. So we go fighting over $2 million in legal fees. And the deal with conspiracy, at least on a federal level, is all you have to do is materially help somebody in their effort to break the law.
Goodness.
You don't have to know that they're trying to break the law.
Right.
You don't have to know that you're materially helping them. So in our case, we'd formed companies and done some nominee officer stuff, which is something that we do in Nevada, and which is where my company, Laughlin, is. And it was business as usual for us, but anyway, theoretically, he had done some stuff. So we fought. After 3.5 years, we gave up, took a plea bargain, and both my partner and I went to prison. They sent us to different places, but
gosh,
I did that. And during that time, I won't say the exact number, but I'll just tell you that even from prison, where I couldn't run my business, but my business was able to run appropriately in the absence of the two owners, you know, one was a CEO, one was a CFO, the company ran and did fine, even under this horrible pressure, because it had been organized the way I've been building companies for years and years, and Lee and I have done together for 20 years.
Right, but let me add in here. You had how many kids? Four, five?
Five.
Five kids, a wife, and one day he says, honey, I'll see you in 15 months or so. It's like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Let me take a break. There's more to this story. The unshackled owner, AaronScottYoung.com. AaronScottYoung.com on the web. Listen, if your business keeps running while you're away, you're doing something right. Aaron's going to talk about that on the other side. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Well, you're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Can your business run with you not there? Are you interested in having a virtual business by using some of these unshackled owner principles? Aaron Scott Young joining us, Chief Strategy Officer for the Unshackled Owner. And this story is just amazing that you had to go through what you had to go through. But listen, that's how we get to that point in our lives where, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. And so you took your experiences and now you have almost doubled down or compounded the learning experience to be able to have the unshackled owner. So my question is, you know, how can you teach others to do that when they maybe haven't had those experiences? They really need somebody like you that has lived it. So how can you do that? What is the process?
Well, first of all, unshackled owner is, it took somebody else to tell me, oh, that's a perfect name because of the whole prison story. I was like, oh, that wasn't even what I was thinking of when I came up with that name. I came up with the name because so many business owners, as they get to, they achieve success, the success they dreamed of, they've finally got the money and the house and the car and the watch or whatever it is that they think matters, but they can't fully enjoy it because they're so shackled to their business.
Right.
Even when they go on the exotic vacation, they're still having to take the call. Or I've got to be on my phone sitting here by the pool.
Right, that's me. That's always been me.
Yeah. Well, let me just tell you, you don't have to be like that. There is the reason that business owners end up slaves to their company is because they stay in startup mode. They stay in a position where they are the most critical employee of the company. And truthfully, a lot of entrepreneurs love that because it makes them feel smart and capable and important, and that's their payoff. They love saying, I work 80 hours a week. You know, they do that. Oh, yeah. It's a grind.
80? That's a slow week. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Come on, guys. Get to work, you lazy. And guys like Gary Vaynerchuk will tell you, you need to run your butt off constantly and hustle, hustle, hustle.
Right.
I completely disagree. I utterly and completely disagree.
Well,
wait
a minute. Hold on. Let's talk about Gary V for a minute. Gary Vaynerchuk. I think the man has an IV in his office with like Monster energy drink or something. You know, whatever he said, right? That energy is not natural. And he's going to be a product of human combustion one of these days where he just explodes. Because I don't know how anybody can live. It creates toxic energy. It creates a toxic lifestyle, which takes its toll. And I don't think it's sustainable. So that's why I wanted to bring this to the table.
And yet, there's a whole generation of people going, that's the model to follow. I tell you who I like. I like Henry Ford. He was the ninth wealthiest person ever walked the planet. And he knew it took time. You know, there's a great Henry Ford story about the V8 engine, and or the eight-cylinder engine. And he said, I want an engine built out of, and you're the car guy.
It would have been the V8 because they had inline six and eight cylinder, but they didn't have V.
So they wanted it out of one piece of steel or iron. And his engineer said, it's impossible. You can't, there's no way to do it. There's no way to have the tolerances on the steel to allow the pressure and the heat and all that. And he's like, we'll work on it. And they come back to him a year later to get he gets a report. No, we've done this. We've done it. He said, go back and work on it. The year later, they said, look, Mr. Ford, it's scientifically impossible. And Henry Ford said, well, I will have it. So go back to work.
And the rest of the story is, and he says, and if you don't figure it out, I'll find somebody else. I'll fire you guys and find somebody else that will do it. And, of course, the story is, as we know, we have V8 engines and V12s and Vs of everything these days. But it was possible, and so he did not believe that it was impossible. And I think that is the, you know, kind of the attitude we have to have. It's a little train that could, and he was a big train at that time.
Remember, he had 7 failed businesses before Ford Motor Company.
Right.
And so the first thing is, yeah, be busy. Don't sit around and go, oh, well, today's my meditation day, so I'm just going to, you know, sit on my thumbs and dream, imagine my future. But, you know, if you want to get up in the morning and do that, that's great. But then get your butt to work. But you also, you've got to work hard, but you've also got to take time to recharge, because you're going to get your best ideas when you're recharging, not when you're working your butt off.
Well, you know, I think we get into this mode, and it could be, truthfully, you know, I mean, look, we love coffee. Look what's going on in the world of coffee. We coffee up first thing in the morning, and we get this energy that is not really a natural energy. And you find more and more and more entrepreneurs, more business people, more leaders, the transformational kind of leaders, looking to become more spiritual, looking to find that inner stillness, yielding to a greater power and realizing, you know, of myself, I can do nothing. I need help from, you know, mentors that will tell me, slow down, take a break. You're running on unnatural energy. I've done this for so long. I can't even tell you. I got to the point where coffee was literally my energy, and I had bad energy. So watch, you guys, watch out how many Red Bulls or energy drinks you're taking. Watch how much coffee you drink. You need to get healthy. You got to learn how to unshackle yourself from your business and actually live a life. Be present with your wife, your children, people that you love, because that energy ain't natural. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Aaron Young. AaronScottYoung.com, the unshackled owner, and learn how to do this. He's going to put his professor's cap on and teach. It is Entrepreneur Weekly. Do not change that channel. We'll be right back.
There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Need a mentor? One-on-one online sessions with Entrepreneur Magazine's experts can help you start a business, grow your business, build your brand, fundraise, and more. Book your one-on-one session with experienced business owners and media experts. Jason Pfeiffer, editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, can help you perfect your business pitch to media. Businesswoman Kathleen Griffith, founder of Grace & Company, can help improve your growth and marketing strategies. Need guidance on improving your leadership skills? Elizabeth Gore, president of Alice, can help you become a strong, value-driven leader. So what are you waiting for? Book your one-on-one session with Entrepreneur's lineup of experts today. Visit entrepreneur.com/mentors. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/mentors.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Back with the unshackled owner, AaronScottYoung.com on the web. AaronScottYoung.com on the web. You can find out how he has been able to run a business while he was in jail and continue to make a profit and have, you know, a life when he got out. You can either sit there and you know, complain, or you can kind of pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And Aaron has done that, and he's a friend of mine. And I respect this man. Now, the question for you, Aaron, is what are the basics? And then I want to make sure we talk about virtual versus bricks and mortar, too. So got about 5 minutes to get some good learning in here. Go for it.
Okay, here are the basics. First thing is, the first biggest mistake I see entrepreneurs make is they don't know where they're going. There's no intention. They're not clear on the finish line. They're thinking, I want to make money. They're not thinking, I want to build something specific. And the more ambiguity there is, the more difficult it is. More difficult it is to actually hit the home run. If you don't know what you're aiming at, you know, it's no good. I love the quote: "If you don't know where you are and where you're going, a map does you no good."
Right.
And so you've got to have an outcome. So the first thing is get clear on what you're doing and why you're doing it.
Second thing is, what are you great at and what do you suck at? Okay. You should quit doing the stuff that you suck at and do the things that you're great at and begin to surround yourself with individuals who play at the things you have to work at. You want to have people that are much smarter than you, that you're slowly adding to the team. And if you don't have a lot of money, some of these may just be virtual assistants in some foreign land, but that they know what they're doing on IT or HR or marketing or sales or fill in the blanks. So first thing is know where you're going. Second thing is quit doing what you suck at and focus on what you're great at. Third thing is you really want to make sure that when you bring people onto your team, whether it's a virtual team or you're all under one roof, you want to hire for outcomes, not for a task, not for, I want you to do sales. I suck at sales. I'm hiring you because you're supposed to be good at sales. Go sell. Nope, that's no good. You've got to give them specific outcomes that you need from them. And you can't just make a dollar quota. You've got to think about these things. These people are becoming an appendage of your dream. And so figure out what exactly do you want them to do every day, every week, every month. And you don't need to micromanage them, but you need to give them clear, measurable outcomes that they can be accountable for.
Right.
That's critically important. Fourth thing is keep score, because the accountability part's important. Most people suck at being an employer because they don't give specific things that they're measuring, and then they just go and get mad at people when things aren't the way they think they ought to be. That's not fair to the employee. So make sure that your employees know precisely what they're being measured on, and then put it up on a scoreboard where everybody knows all the time where they stand.
All right. Give me five. Well, no, I only got about a minute left. Give me virtual versus bricks and mortars, because they're going to have to come to AaronScottYoung.com to get the rest.
No matter what, if you have measurable outcomes, when we deal in specifics, we'll rarely have a failure. When we deal in generalities, we'll rarely have success. Get specific with everybody, whether they're a Filipino VA or they're a high-priced PhD that's in your office. Get clear on what you want, get clear on how it's going to be measured, and then it's up to you to make sure the right things are being measured, not up to you to get pissed off at somebody else because they didn't do what you had imagined they would do.
Right.
It's your job as the leader to stay the leader, no matter how talented these other people are around you. You're the visionary. Keep them on task.
I love having all these songs at my fingertips because I get to pull up. You gotta know what you want. That's what it is. Aaron Scott Young says, get clear on what you want to be or do. Be specific with your employees. Keep score. And if you want more and you really want to know what you want to be and you need some help with that, you can check him out at AaronScottYoung.com. The unshackled owner, a guy who ran his business from jail, got out many years ago, has a beautiful life, children, grandchildren, wonderful wife. Congratulations to Aaron Scott Young, who made it. He's made it, and he can help you make it. Aaron, thank you, brother.
Thanks, Alan.
I love these stories. I love people like this. You know, it takes a village, people. It takes a village. I'm Alan Taylor. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll see you next week.
What you think about that? Now you know how I feel.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.